Hey, this is Eddie Green, and welcome to Selling People, Not a Process. Please return your tray tables and seat backs to their upright positions, and let's get ready for takeoff, because here we go. So welcome to episode 3, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you guys tuning in, and I've been getting some great feedback. I'm really humbled and honored that you guys would take time out of your day to be able to listen to this, and I'm hoping that we're giving you some value to be able to apply towards your sales organizations. So this is episode 3. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We've been, you know, kind of ingrained in the goal setting and execution and accountability in the previous episodes, but now we're going to talk about culture. I think that culture within the workplace is potentially one of the single most important facets of the workplace, because without great culture, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, you just really don't look forward to coming to work. And this is going to be geared more towards leadership. But as salespeople, you can also too go back to leadership if you're not working in an environment that you think is conducive to success, and bring it to their attention, and hopefully they're going to be willing to accept change. So I'm going to rock the boat. I'm going to tell you right now, this really aggravates me. I've seen it in my travels. I've seen it within other organizations. And to be real honest with you, I'm not looking to open up a political commentary. But the one thing that I'm definitely wanting to do is address what this situation has done as far as culture in the workplace. And we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about the situation that... Let's take a look at like right to work states. Whether you're a proponent of right to work or you are, it's completely something that you're against, I think that right to work has created an absolutely horrible culture within the workplace. The reason that I say that is because the days of an irreplaceable employee, like let's go back to the times whenever my dad was in the workplace. He's since retired, but the reputation that he had for what he did, he was just considered an invaluable employee, just one that just couldn't be replaced. And I don't see that anymore in the workplace. I think it's sad. I think the days of the irreplaceable employee have come and gone. And I'm not saying that there is such a thing as somebody who can't be replaced, but people seeing the value. There's no value placed on employees anymore. There's very little appreciation. People really kind of want more work for less pay. And what they're going to do is they're going to push and push and push until that employee breaks. They're going to use them up, and then they're on to the next candidate. So you don't see a lot of long-term employees anymore, because people will, like I said, they'll just burn them out. And it even comes down to the workplace culture, like for meetings. So meetings have become more about the whispers amongst the employees of, wow, who's going to lose their job today, rather than them looking forward to meetings. Or if they get a phone call from their boss, the first expectation that they have is that they're going to get their butt chewed out for something that they've done or not done. You go into annual review sessions and you get the commentary of, you know, we really want more out of you. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, we need you to really put your nose to the grindstone and do more than you ever have, but it's just not in the budget to give you a raise. And that to me is just absolutely ludicrous. I can understand that with the economy, that sometimes there are situations to where there aren't room for raises anymore. And that's, you know, I totally understand that. But there are ways, and we're going to discuss that here in a little while, of what you can do to prove to employees that you actually do appreciate them. And then lastly, you know, I think it's a situation to where you don't even really see retirement parties anymore. One, people don't make it that long. But if they do happen to make it that far, basically what happens is they're handed a box and maybe a gold watch or a lapel pin or something, you know, that's and the employee leaves with a, you know, I was just lucky to be able to get that far with this career, that I could actually retire from it, as opposed to just a genuine celebration of the amount of time, effort, and ability that they put into the job. So truthfully, like I said, I think it's absolutely pathetic. You see higher ups, you see all the executives getting rich, and the employees are expected to do more and more and more for little to no reward. Now, there's also to the flip side to that on culture. The other side of that culture is that, hey, we're just one big family and everything's happy-go-lucky and everybody's got these painted-on smiles that they come to work with and nobody's got a complaint. But what do you get? You peel back the layers and you see these underperforming employees because no one wants to upset the happy family. So there's no accountability. The company is stagnant. There's no execution or development. And then what you do is you go into the break room around the water cooler and the gossip starts and the whisperings and meanderings start. And that tells a very different story until finally that whole Brady Bunch, Beaver Cleaver mentality breaks. And the hole is so big in the dam that your tiny little finger can't stop the flood. And you realize your organization has got problems. So it kind of leads you to ask the question, what is exactly the perfect culture? And I don't know that there's necessarily an answer for that. But I do think that employers should be striving to create a perfect culture. And so let's say, for example, you know, what if raises are truly out of the question? Or the real question I think that should be asked is by upper management, ownership, and leadership. When you get up every single morning and you're standing in front of that mirror, I think the tried and true question that should be asked is, would I want to work for me? Do I provide an environment that I would want to work in every single day of my life, be excited about it, ready to come to work every day, no matter what position I held in my organization? Can you honestly have the humility to be able to look yourself in the mirror and say those kinds of things and answer those questions honestly? I don't think you can. I've seen too many instances where leadership walks on water and they don't feel like they do anything wrong. And they demand for little or no reward for their employees. So I really would say that the vast majority of people, if they look themselves in the mirror and ask themselves that question, the resounding answer would probably be no. And that's horrible because culture starts with you. I think that you have to get to a point of brutal honesty that you need to provide an environment that you would want to get up and work at if you were on the janitorial staff. Or if you were your salesperson, or you were your admin person. Now, that sounds like a lot of negativity, and I don't want you to get me wrong. I don't want you to take this out of context, because there are lots of companies that are doing it right. They have dedicated, happy, overachieving employees that wouldn't dream of going anywhere else. But what are they doing that the majority of workplaces aren't? What are they doing differently than potentially your organization? Well, I'll tell you what, let's break it down. Number one, leadership genuinely and sincerely cares about their employees. They have true open door policies and they affect change. So what does that mean? It means that their employees have a voice and you in leadership are a solution to that voice. Maybe it's a down year and you really honestly are not in a financial position to be able to give everybody the raises they deserve. So what? There's other ways to prove your appreciation to employees that are relatively cheap and can really boost morale. Maybe you bring donuts on a Monday morning for the office. Maybe you choose to let them work from home a couple of Fridays a month. Maybe you do contests for vacation days. Maybe you even ask them to go to lunch once in a while. Tell them sincerely and genuinely how much you appreciate them and how great of a job they're doing. But I want you to actually mean it. And lastly, just pick up the phone and call them and tell them something fantastic. Maybe something they're doing, something that's great within the organization, something that maybe they had a hand in. There's all kinds of things that you can do. Number two, I think that you don't, it doesn't always have to be fluffy. I mean, you need to be able to hold your employees accountable and execute. They want to be challenged. Your employees, especially salespeople, want to be challenged. So set meetings with them and tell them the great things that are going on with the organization, where people are excelling, where you're at in relation to goal. Then you're going to take a step back and say, look, okay, we are doing all these things right. Here are the areas of opportunity or improvement that we can have, and make that peer-led on the solution. Be like, what do you guys think about how we're going to be able to get to these improvements? Write them down on the board and give them praise for answers that you think would work fantastically, and use the ones that don't work so well as educational moments. But and then before you leave, build them up before you let them out of the room. So what you're doing is you're holding them accountable. You do have that plan for execution and motivation. You're challenging them to get from point A to point B, but you're using the Oreo cookie effect: good stuff, hard stuff, good stuff. So when they leave, they feel empowered to be able to attack the things that were in the middle, the hard stuff. They feel like that they can go do it. They feel like that they're going to make a difference. Maybe potentially you hold a, you know, just a big rah-rah company cookout. You know, even if all you can afford in the budget is hot dogs, do it away from work. Get away from the office where they can potentially bring their families. You know, do it in a park, things like that. The other thing that you can do is you can be a developer and an educator to your employees. You're going to lead from the front, servant leadership, lead by example. Because I'm going to tell you, your people are starving for knowledge, and you are the subject matter expert. You own the company, or you're the leadership in the company. So it's going to make them better and more equipped to be able to do their jobs. So what are you doing? In essence, you're creating students of the game. So the other thing that you can do that can really have a positive impact and create a fantastic culture within the workplace is squelch any negative behavior immediately. I mean, grab it by the horns and take it. Don't tolerate it. It could ruin your organization. It can ruin your morale. It can ruin your culture. So you're going to deal with it swiftly, and you're going to deal with it decisively, and you're going to document it. And if it persists, cut the cancer out and move on. Negative behavior should never be tolerated within your organization, and it can be a culture killer. So these five things, you know, about caring for your employees, meetings for development, cookouts, you know, things like that, developer and educator, and squelching negative behavior could really set the tone for culture. And it is the key to your success as an organization. It keeps employees motivated, focused, happy, and productive. But it also, too, keeps your attrition rate low. Let's say, for example, you know, the average sales rep within the ServPro organization is 7 months. Well, that's really not a lot of time for the revenue channel to open up. And what's the biggest reason they leave? A lot of it is culture or disbelief that they can achieve the goals and objectives set before them. So it sucks to have to sit and train and train and train and train and train. You feel like it's the definition of insanity. So you want the people that have fantastic culture, their attrition rate is really, really low. People don't leave because they love where they work. So make sure that you're keeping focused on the morale of your organization. So lastly, again, I'm going to challenge you to look yourself in the mirror tomorrow morning when you get up to go to work, and ask yourself, would I work for me? Do I create an environment that is conducive to success and a positive mental attitude in the place that I am a leader at? Please make that answer yes. That's all I've got for you guys today. I hope you enjoyed the topic. Go out, go apply it. If you need anything at all or have questions, comments, or concerns, email me at eddie@tierlevel.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you soon.